I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks again to Jesse Agler
joining us, and he's got his incorporator word for tonight.
I like when he calls me out for being a moron, and I fully was admitting
I called you out earlier.
Yeah.
The same reason.
Well, his opinion counts to me.
I get it.
He doesn't bully me and say that I look like the Schwab.
Sometimes the voice you hear every day, whether it be a spouse or a family member or a radio co-host,
yeah,
kind of becomes easier to tune out after
in one
a while,
ear,
even when the advice may be good,
and out the other.
Does happen.
It's very true.
But Jesse made the same point I did, that you can be frustrated that Tyler Wade is the first guy coming off the bench, even though it is absolutely 100% the right decision by Mike Schilt in that situation.
Yeah, my beef was never with Schilt. My beef was at...
What's up, my dudes? How you doing?
Hey, we're good. How you doing, Skip? Good to talk to you again. Great move last night. Way to push that button. Really, really well done.
That was sexy.
Yeah, it was. It was. You really crushed that.
I like the way the game was played.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. I enjoyed it very much. Good game.
Good game.
Yes.
Good game.
Yep.
GG's.
All right.
We are, we're now in my 24-hour window.
It's the, it is like hell on
for
earth.
For vacation.
It is
so
hell on
I apologize.
Earth. He is gone.
May seem distracted.
Have you, question, you're playing in a golf tournament.
Correct.
Have you already, you've never played at this course.
I've never played at this course.
How
before.
Much have you game planned online already?
A ridiculous amount, actually.
I figured.
You know,
like, you know exactly what's...
I've gone through, they have, like, flyovers of the holes. I've, like, Google mapped to look like where is the best places, perhaps, to hit the shots.
Have you looked at restaurants in the surrounding
area?
Well,
not really, because the club, there's, like, food with the tournament, so we're probably just going to be eating mostly there at the events. So we haven't really had a lot of time to research or need to research restaurants for
You've
this
been
trip.
Sitting at Channel 10 at night.
Yeah.
Plotting out yeah,
between like
shot
the 6 and
shot,
the 11 yeah. o'clock
between
news,
the 6
and I've got
and
a little
11.
Time and
yeah.
Padres game's over. I'm killing a little time. Yes, I have.
You are.
I have plotted shot by shot via Google Earth.
You're unbelievable.
As to where I'm going to, what the strategy will be for this hole. Now, do I want to hit a driver here, or is this more of a 3-wood off the tee sort of hole?
I knew it. I knew.
Yeah.
It. And let's be honest. At 9:02, you're still doing it in your head. I know you. I know you inside and out. You're right now. You're looking at me and you're nodding and you're in the chat and you're here on the air. But you are in Henderson, Nevada, right now.
Did you say something?
Yeah, exactly. Look at it, like just a blank stare. It's just
what do I do with them?
No, I will focus at least through mock the draft tomorrow.
Okay. That's
and then,
at 7.
And then after that, Maybe you just leave.
Yeah, seriously.
We can just boot him. Oh, we got Booney and
sure,
Adam
you've
Jones.
Got plenty.
Yeah.
If you're literally telling us that you're not going to be there mentally for the next 2 hours, what are we doing?
Yeah. Who knows? If you can kick me out at any time after mock the draft tomorrow.
I can go both ways.
You have the authority. I will stay up until 9, which is when I have to leave. But if you want to kick me out before that, you go. Just go. I will leave.
Padres support group says, lights on, no one home. That's exactly him in a nutshell right now. The lights are on. There is nobody inside.
Fair enough.
Yep.
All right, let's let Paulie get us some headlines. It's time for the Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report.
with Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
Is that jarring music again?
That was our category today on Take on Woods.
What was?
All right.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That was jarring music.
All right.
jarring music coming up next.
Oh, God. What was that?
You know what, Ben? That's not a bad
category. It's not a bad category.
What would you call it, just quickly, what would you say is a jarring song that most of us are like, familiar with?
It's jarring.
That's jarring. That's a jarring song.
Like something like Pantera or something, you know, death metal-ish.
Something like Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy doesn't jar me. Well, maybe. The beginning of Crazy Train.
Yeah. That's jarring.
Scares you to death every
time.
That's how
you should celebrate a Padres win in the morning.
Instead of my guttural scream.
Ben's wipeout.
Hell's Bells isn't really jarring. It's just a bell sound, which is cool. Jarring music. Please get that done at some point. Jarring songs when on your drive out to Henderson.
5.5 hours.
Brass Monkey.
Brass Monkey.
That's, it's not
is,
a bad call.
Is, yeah.
It's the. It's jarring.
Jarring.
It's good call.
All right.
All right. This was not that jarring, but in the NFL yesterday, we had a quarterback trade. The Jets sending Zach Wilson to Denver. I don't know why. I was not surprised in the slightest. I look at Zach Wilson, I go, yeah, he seems like a Denver Bronco.
I don't know who their GM is these days. I don't really care either, but I do get the sense that the higher-ups there in Denver are like, is he mediocre AF? He's mediocre AF? We'll take him. Yeah, sign him up.
I mean, I don't think there's
mid in the dictionary.
Yeah, oh, is he mid AF?
I don't think there's any question that Russell Wilson is the better Wilson quarterback that Denver has had now in the last couple of years. They've downgraded to a lesser Wilson.
Are they the most... Got to be one of the most frustrating teams to be a fan of.
I would imagine.
Like, they got the Nuggets there. They're stoked. The Rockies are not. They're not doing anything. You got your Broncos, and they have that radio station there that's dedicated 24/7 to the Broncos. That's the worst job in sports media. The worst job in sports media. It has to be.
It feels like, and I've not done any research on this, but it feels like there's always one good team in Denver and one good team alone.
And
it was the Broncos for a while, and then, you know, the Avalanche and the Rockies and the Nuggets all stank. Now, the Avalanche
stank.
The Rockies had a good moment, but the other team, now the Nuggets are good and everybody else is not good, just feels like they get one at a time. And that's it.
I mean, here's a tweet right here. Denver Broncos have been discussing this trade for weeks. After exploring the veteran free agent quarterback market, there's belief in the Denver building, the Zach Wilson still has tons of talent and potential. I mean, anytime you have a top five pick in the draft, somebody's going to give that dude a look over and over. And the Broncos seemingly are that team
every
year.
The Jets pretty much had to and wanted to get rid of him, though. So, you know, you're kind of doing the Jets a favor
by
taking him off their hands.
Yeah, the Jets, he was number two draft pick
in
2021. And so the Jets are getting in exchange for Zach Wilson this week's sixth round pick.
Yeah, this week's.
Number 203. And then the Broncos are also getting a seventh round pick along with Wilson.
Okay.
And then he is owed $5.5 million a season. The teams are splitting that. $2.75 million each.
It's just basically a giveaway. So you're trading a sixth for a seventh. So you're just moving down a few slots.
Cost you almost $3 million.
How about this?
Taking on some money.
How about this list? Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Case Keenum, Drew Locke, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driskel, Brett Rypien, Philip Lindsay, Teddy Bridgewater, Russell Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, and now Zach Wilson.
Good God.
I mean, it is just as...
Teddy Bridgewater is like the class.
The class of that.
That entire group.
Yeah, I left out Flacco. He started 8 games or something because he's good. But other than that, yeah, man, it's tough.
Debatable also.
Yeah, for sure.
I saw a note here on ESPN's story. In that 2021 draft with Zach Wilson, there were 5 quarterbacks taken in the first round. Only one of them is still with us 3 years ago.
Oh, the Avs are very good. Somebody, the Colorado.
The Avs are also good this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You should know that, Mr. Hockey Guy.
I know, I should.
All right, moving on. This is kind of sports. It has to do with Tom Brady. Tom Brady is going to have a comedy roast. The Roast of Tom Brady.
The Roast of Tom Brady.
And it's going to air live on Netflix.
Okay.
May 5th.
I'll watch that.
May 5th at 5 o'clock on the West Coast.
Tough guy to roast?
Yeah, I'd say so. Now, you said you were going to watch it. I don't know if Kevin Hart's hosting it.
Oh, never mind.
Jeff Ross is going to be there, as he is with literally every single
greatest of all time. Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be at the Kia Forum in Inglewood. It's part of the Netflix is a Joke Festival, which goes over like a span of 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep.
Every major star in comedy is there. So part of the festival is going to be the live, you know, Netflix is tried and failed with some of their live broadcasts, but they're going to give it another go here.
Okay.
In a couple of weeks, Tom Brady going to get roasted. And I imagine, you know, usually the roastie does do some comedy, or
yeah,
at least
you
talk.
Go up at the end and talk, and then you rip everybody else that's
and
up there.
It reminded me of a story that we had a little over a year ago, because I went and pulled it. Tom Brady, I think it was a hoax or just a total joke that Tom Brady was thinking about getting into stand-up comedy, and we had a Breaking Ben. Remember his big punchline from Tom Brady? What did the linebacker say to the flight attendant?
It's got to be fake.
Put me in, coach.
All right.
Of course, Ben liked it.
Were we in a submarine?
It got, this was from our old YouTube before we fixed all the audio.
Me and Coach got you.
I'm not laughing at the joke, I'm laughing at Ben.
I hate everything about it.
Tom Brady's the greatest comedian of all time.
Yo, what do you make fun of him for? His chin butt?
Well, I mean, if you're really mean...
His divorce?
His divorce and his wife
funny.
Probably cheating on him. But
yeah.
That seems too mean. Out of the fact that we didn't talk about that. You see, he was on a podcast like last week and said he wouldn't be opposed to a late-season NFL return.
I did. I saw
Maybe
that.
Maybe he'll end up as the next Denver Broncos quarterback late in the year next year.
I mean, they could do worse, and they continue to do that.
Hey, if they tread water with Zach Wilson and late in the season, they go, we can upgrade, though. How about Tom Brady as our quarterback?
6 rings, right? 6?
Yep.
6 rings?
7.
7 rings? God bless.
1 without Belichick.
Yeah. Supermodel wife for most of his time. I mean, I'm sure the replacement is not unattractive. You know, toast of the town. What do you?
Seems like a good guy.
Yeah, seems like a good dude. He does have the chin butt. I always kind of wanted.
It's like a cleft in the chin?
I don't know if it's a cleft. He's got the chin butt. It's got
it's just got a crack in it.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
I always kind of wanted it, but I never had it. You don't have it.
We've talked a lot about your chin this week.
Well, there's going to be some wheels are in motion. I've been doing some Google searches lately. I've been doing some pricing.
And you say you actually do want butt chin.
I would, if I had it, I wouldn't be opposed
you
to
would
it.
Prefer
I wouldn't get it put
kinda
in. It
comes with the chisel.
You don't
want
it. As long as you're going under, maybe you just want them to add.
No, I don't want them to add one. That would be, if I showed up with a chin butt, you guys would be like, all right, bro.
I associate it with good shape. I don't see a lot of
guys
with butt chins.
Well, obviously, once you eat a lot and the face swells up, you lose the definition.
Maybe I had one when I was a kid.
Right. All right. So you didn't know if Tom Brady being a comic was a joke. I didn't know if this last story was a joke or not. But I guess thoughts and prayers with Celine Dion.
Oh, no, you are doing this story. This is not a joke. This is a real thing.
Well, I don't know. It's not a thing, though. I've never heard of...
Well. Are you
just because you have?
Are you a physician? I was going to say
she's dealing with stiff person syndrome.
I think that's a real.
Is that a real thing?
I think it is.
Yeah, she.
I thought it was an Onion article, and then I had to do some.
Yes.
It's a rare autoimmune neurological disorder.
Well, hope she pulls through. She says that she has not gotten through it. It's still with me, always will be. I hope
there's no treatment.
She's going to find a miracle, a way to cure it with scientific research. I just don't know if it's like just pain or if she's like dying from it. There was not a lot of detail from her story.
I don't know that if it's fatal or not.
It doesn't really matter. We feel nothing but sympathy for her. We know why you did this story, so just play it, Paulie. We know why you brought this story
up. One
you did it for one reason, didn't you?
I mean,
just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
There it is.
Nailed it.
Yes, we know what you're up to over there. We know.
Sorry about that.
I do. I really do hope she's okay. Right. She says, I work on my toes, my knees, my calves, my fingers, my singing, my voice. I have to learn to live with it and stop questioning myself. But again, there's no details on if this is like a fatal disease or if it's just like a chronic thing that you have to deal with.
It's a good reminder that even people who seem to have, you know, everything in life, celebrity, talent, fame, the works, we all
get old.
We all deal with something, whether it's physical issues, health, personal life issues. Everybody, even the happiest and most successful of people, are dealing with problems. Everybody has problems.
It doesn't sound fun. I was reading about it. I went, oh my God, that sounds terrible. So I hope she's okay. She's a nice lady. You do wonder. She says she's looking for a miracle. You wonder if, you know, maybe with weed or something, or CBD or something like that. Could
they
help.
Need a better name for stiff person.
They do.
Syndrome,
I think
that's a misleading headline.
It is. Like you saw that, and you're like, ha, 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 "What is this?" It's like, right. you. Yeah. I would make the joke that you have stiff person.
Autoimmune rigidosis or
right,
something.
Yes,
that
yes.
would sound more serious.
AIR, right?
Yeah,
100%.
Then stiff person syndrome (SPS) is just a bad name for it. And that's not her fault.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I would assume with the resources that she has and the medical team that she's probably been working with, if it was just as simple as CBD, they'd probably have figured that out.
It's not fatal, Jeffrey says. It's something that will need lifelong care.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for that.
We've got a giveaway. We've got Parker McCollum tickets that we'll give out. Look ahead to Padres tonight's game against the Colorado Rockies, game 2 of the series, and more coming up with more Ben and Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting Twitter happenings from our boss, Adam Klug. Did you see this, Ben? Last night, you know, Tony Gwynn Jr. is a big Lakers fan. So last night, it was after the game, obviously our boss Adam tweeted thoughts and prayers at Tony Gwynn Jr. Well, I had people in my DMs going, hey, is everything okay with Tony
his
family? And I said,
oh, no.
Now, I got it pretty soon after. Like, I saw it, and I went, oh, Lakers.
But if you had gone to bed before that game ended or something, if you woke up and saw Adam's tweet, just thoughts and prayers. Like,
out of context.
Out of context.
Out of time context.
Scared a lot of people. And I admonished him on Twitter, as I've been known to do from time to time. And I said, I'm 99.9% sure This is a basketball tweet, but I've got people in my DMs asking if Tony and his family are okay. Well done, boss. And he came in and he's like, of course it was about, I go, you could hashtag it and just say hashtag Lakers.
Even a gif of the Nuggets or, you know, celebrating something. Basketball. Anything.
A picture of a basketball.
I think we all sometimes forget that not everyone sees our social media posts within the first 5 minutes that we post them.
That's right.
I sometimes feel that way, like when I'm live tweeting along with a game.
Yeah.
You know, oh man, I would not have taken, you know, I would not have taken that pitch there. It has no meaning if someone logs on 7 hours later and looks like, oh, I have no idea what that's about. And I understand that. So,
but I also, it begs the question, was that a D move from the boss? Here, he's right there. Let's get him to answer. Adam, come answer for yourself.
Defend yourself.
Defend yourself. Is that a jerk move to do to someone right after, you know, a dagger?
Rub their nose in it.
Yes,
in the fact that their team just lost.
You're rubbing your nose in that loss last night. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
It's good to have you. You scared a lot of people.
I didn't mean to.
Of course,
I didn't mean to scare anybody. And B, it was not meant as a shot or anything snarky towards Tony Gwynn Jr. That was a legitimately heartbreaking loss the Lakers had last night.
That was a gnarly loss.
I was watching it live, and I screamed when that shot went in, even though my kids were asleep. And it was a legitimate, hey, man, I've had a lot of heartbreak for the sports teams that I follow. Tony Gwynn Jr., I'm thinking of you. That's all it was.
Do you want to talk about...
This is the Atlanta Braves and Georgia football fan talking about heartbreak.
Atlanta Falcons, 28-3.
I was just going to say, do you want to talk about 28-3? We could. Well, okay,
I have not heard that joke before. Why don't you tell me all about it?
So after that, if it happened this year, 28-3, Falcons are up, you're like, hey, we run the football, we're winning this game. Game ends. And I tweet thoughts and prayers at Adam Cleveland. You're a little bit hot about it. You would be.
I legitimately would not be.
Really?
Hmm. What? You're thinking of me. You realize I'm in the chamber.
What was that like? The Super Bowl.
Jokes aside, your team is up
28-3 in the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
I was producing national radio at the time for CBS Sports Radio. I was in Houston broadcasting Monday through Friday in the lead up to the game, right? And I was doing everything I could to try and stay in Houston. You know, I was only there through Friday. I'm like, I should stay, but it's like, hotels are expensive. How do I get into the game?
Insane.
If I would have ended up spending $10,000 it would have been over.
Okay, what would have been worse?
So you ended up just watching it at home? Or?
Correct. I was watching it at home. And honestly, I've been through a lot of heartbreak. At that moment, is before the Braves in Georgia. And I know that my teams always, you know, choke things away. And that whole season, I was like, I was in on the Falcons that year. I knew they were going to be awesome, and I believed. But that whole game, I'm telling my wife, it's over. Like, we're winning this game. She's like, Adam? I go, no. I know what I always do. This one's different. She goes, Adam? Until it's over. I go, Alyssa.
Premature.
I go, they're up 28-3. There's no way they can blow this.
I'll never forget it, man. I never will forget where I was watching it, watching the comeback. I was also
at the game, the Georgia-Alabama National Championship in 2016. It was in the Georgia Dome. So it's basically a home game for the Bulldogs in Atlanta. And this was, they hadn't won a title since 1980. So Georgia fans are like rabid. Georgia was up 10 points in the fourth quarter in basically a home game. Ooh. And that was the game. It went to overtime and Tua came off the bench. He hadn't thrown a pass all season and he lofted a touchdown in overtime to win the game. Walk-off touchdown in overtime.
That's a gut wrench.
That was brutal.
There is a longtime San Diego sports fan, there is a desperation when your team that never gets really far, gets really far, and you have to feel like, we have to take advantage of this, because who knows when we'll ever have this chance again. You grew up as a Yankees fan, and I'm sure it hurt when they didn't win the World Series and were eliminated, but you also thought, but we'll probably be back next year and have another opportunity. As a Padres fan, when Tino Martinez at that Grand Slam and in 1998.
But it's different for certain teams. Yankees fans expect to be back. I don't expect to be back.
That's the thing. I don't know that they will be.
It's not that the Luis Gonzalez hit up the middle didn't just gut, especially right. in the year that had happened with 9/11 and all that. Like, that was, you knew they were winning, and the late comebacks and all that. But yeah, I was never, you know, you get over it. The one that hurt me the most of my life was the Red Sox comeback. I never,
from the 3-0 deficit.
Yeah, 3-0 deficit. I got in a fist fight.
To them.
I got a fist fight that night at a bar. It was ugly. It was ugly.
I mean, that Falcons Super Bowl, it was the second Super Bowl the Falcons had ever been to, the last one being like 98. And that was when they got just blitzed by the Broncos with John Elway.
Yep.
You know, Falcons safety Eugene Robinson got arrested the night before. And you're like,
that's
oh,
right.
You're
like, they prostitute,
no,
right? Right? Yes.
Exactly. You're like, they have no chance at this game.
I forgot about that.
So it had been 20 years.
The night before.
Right. What are you doing, dude?
What are you doing, man?
10 years ago, I was 5 years removed from my move from Seattle to here, and I'd pretty much become a Chargers fan, was working in sports radio just starting out. So I had adopted the Chargers as my football team, but the Seahawks were in the Super Bowl that year against the Patriots. And I went out to Scottsdale, to watch from a bar with a bunch of Seattleites, all my friends, and I was pulling for them. It just, my heart wasn't quite in it.
Right.
Being with diehards when they threw that interception on the goal line.
The Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch.
Didn't hand it off to Marshawn right. Lynch. I mean, you talked about what happened to you. My buddy got in a huge fight with someone.
100%.
He was so mad.
Dumb, man. I was also 75 Budweisers deep in game seven.
Oh, yeah, we've been drinking since 8 a.m.
You're like, there's no way they can do it. And I, in my warped mind, I go, oh, good. Let's let them all the way back in, 3-3, and then let's kick the ass out of them. And boy, they came out. It was some of the best baseball. If you can go back now and look at it, some of the best baseball you've ever seen in your life played in that series, the way that the Sox came back. I mean,
yeah,
it was crazy.
As a Padres and Chargers fan, they never got
There's
so
that one
close
game like 17 innings,
it was
right?
Brutal, man.
So close to the title that I felt it was ripped away. I think the biggest gut punches were, well, Bryce Harper's home run.
Yeah,
that was still only if they win that one, they only get to game six, so you don't know what's going to happen, but that was a gut punch.
And you guys were talking earlier about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. Bryce Harper feels like feared right now. Like, you pitch against him in the playoffs, right? You're like, I don't want to pitch to Bryce
Harper. That's exactly right.
Barry Bonds ass.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Teams are signing left-handed, high-velocity
to try to get him
pitchers
out.
Just for playoff at-bats against Bryce Harper.
Yep.
But the biggest one, I think, still for me was the Marlon McCree fumble. Oh. Just because I thought that team was probably going to win the Super Bowl. I thought they had the best team that year. So rare that a San Diego team actually, you think they've got the best team.
The Chargers Super Bowl against the Niners is like the Falcons against the Broncos.
I knew they were
destroyed. 10 minutes.
I wasn't surprised. I was hoping, but I really wasn't surprised. I was surprised. I thought they were going to beat the Patriots. I thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl that year, and they had a really good chance to win it. That one, to me, was the hardest reversal as a fan to take.
The Padres-Philly series a couple years ago hurt because, like, I traveled to Philly with the team to cover for the station. And it's like, they just had to win one game to bring the series back to San Diego. And it's like, we would have coverage
party,
and content, home games. Yep. Like they get loose three in a row on the road. It was brutal.
That was tough, man. That was a tough one. Tough one in the stomach. Well, good. You didn't mean to rub it in.
I love Tony Gwynn Jr.
I do too. It's great.
I make fun of the Lakers,
and I know he gets mad at me.
In fact, I'll apologize. If it was taken as uncouth behavior, then I apologize. It was not meant that way.
You know the thing, though? I would say this, and I stand by this. Tweeting it is better than texting someone. Don't text. If the Irish lose to SC on the last play of the game, do not text me, dude.
At least it's private.
It's
not in front of everybody.
I will rage.
When the Falcons blew that Super Bowl, my phone's blowing up. I'm like, I don't want to talk to any of you.
Yeah, don't text me, man. Do not text me after a big L.
I mean, I don't think you should do it, period. But I think putting it out on social media is worse. It
doesn't bother me as much.
So you're calling me a bad guy is what you're doing.
Yeah. That was a bad guy moment.
It's a bad move. But it's all right.
We're going to take a timeout. Before we do that, we have a couple of tickets to give away. Parker McCollum at Calco's Credit Union Open Air Theater on October 25th. You can win them right now. Be the second caller. Dial fast. 833-288-0973. You can win two tickets to Parker McCollum. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. 833-288-0973. Come back. Final segment. I just saw this week is the anniversary of one of the most polarizing sports movies of all time. We'll also look ahead Padres game tonight. Last segment of Ben and Woods next year on 97.3 The Fan. Still talking about gut punch losses as a fan. growing up, just the worst ones. Paulie had a couple of more talking about when he was a Mariners fan and they went to the playoffs with 116 wins. What was it?
Yeah.
And they lost in the playoffs to the Yankees.
It wasn't so much a gut punch. I think walk off.
Yeah, walk off.
Just completely blindsided by the loss. But that was a team that I watched every game that year. They won 116 and had just cruised all year. And then like 9/11 happened. Baseball went away for a week or two. And you run into the Yankees and you're like, the whole world is rooting for New York right now. And like,
wild.
Part of me, I get it. And you're just like, there's something working against us right now.
You also brought up the Aztecs loss to UConn in the Sweet 16 in Anaheim in 2011 when Kemba Walker flopped, got the technical foul called in a very close game in the second half. And Paulie made the good point. The reason why that one hurts so much is that you felt like that team had a chance to win the whole thing and go all the way. And you maybe never dreamed that San Diego State would get that opportunity again. Now, of course, we know, 12 years later, they would, in fact, make it to a Final Four in a national championship game. But at that time, you're going, that may be our only chance ever. And that was our best opportunity.
Especially when the team that flops and beats you in the Sweet 16 goes on to win the whole thing. You're like, oh my God.
Remember, UConn always goes on to win the whole thing when they beat San Diego State.
That's exactly right. And somebody, C. Tony Moreno said, he said Aztecs last year was worse. It was an early round. You felt like it was over pretty early, and you were really proud of how far that they'd come, but it didn't feel like, man.
You had the incredible high of the buzzer beater in the Final Four game.
It's a bad feeling to look and go, I don't give us much of a shot, right?
Like, we need to play a perfect game.
Got to play a perfect game. They have to play a crap game. Yeah, for sure.
2020 was honestly worse than last year when the Aztecs were like looking at a one seed and the whole thing goes away because of COVID. That was a year that you look at, none of the blue bloods were there. No, like it was up for grabs. You're like, this team can absolutely win it.
It's sports are really stupid. I mean, it's really
what are we doing?
It really is incredible.
It is the math of sports that makes them stupid. Yes. You have however many teams, and only one of them wins a championship, and every single other one in some way ends in disappointment, whether it's seconds away from a title or you finish in last place and it was a horrible year. It's always painful for 29 other baseball teams, 31 other football teams, 367 other college basketball teams. It always ends in pain for everybody but one team.
Is that why Dodger fans are so salty and mean? Because you want to talk, I mean, look, be honest. You want to talk about gut punches, the Astros getting them, Padres knocking them out after 111 wins.
I mean, if you talked to Buffalo Bills fans from 1994 through 1998, they're still mad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, it's going to live on for years.
Yeah, the Bills ran up against some really big juggernauts. The Dodgers,
never faced a team where you thought, well, they don't have a chance against that team.
Correct.
Four straight Super Bowls, though, and then just come away with nothing.
Crazy, man. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah, Scott Norwood, clearly, to get that close and need just a field goal to win a Super Bowl and not get it, one of the worst of all time.
No,
all
right,
we'll check traffic, take a look ahead at today's game, Padres-Rockies, right after Kelly on 97.3 The Fan. Well, the formula worked yesterday, so Padres basically trying it again. Very similar kind of matchup with Michael King on the mound, coming off a really good start, threw well, and going up against Ryan Feltner. He's a right-hander, has kind of similar numbers to Austin Gombers that they brought into the game yesterday. Padres once again, feel like this is a matchup you can and should win as you try to get this series victory, at least 3 out of 4 against the Rockies.
He's a little better stuff than Austin Gomber. Throws a little bit harder,
which isn't necessarily a bad thing for the Padres' offense.
No, it's somebody tweeted me last night, man, we can't hit slow pitching, we can't hit fast pitching. And it's the gif of the old man banging a hammer into his head, which may be my favorite one on Twitter. And I said, I know, it can be a little bit frustrating. Sometimes you just need the breaks to go your way. They have gone the Padres' way, I feel more often this year than all of last season. But Feltner's, his expected numbers, Benny, are actually pretty good. I mean, his expected ERA is around 3, which is really good. Expected batting average about 192. He throws 95. Like he's going to be a little bit different look.
Yeah, he's in 6 fewer innings pitched than Michael King. He's struck out only 3 fewer batters. Yep. He's walked 7 fewer batters. He's given up 2 fewer home runs.
Right.
His ERA is higher, but he pitches at Coors Field.
So, exactly right.
Yeah, not bad by any stretch of the imagination.
Slider and fastball is really what you're going to see from him. So you pick right and time it up. You should have a good day.
You've caught the Rockies offense at a good time for the Padres. They've been struggling at the plate before even the Padres got there. C's kept them struggling. I think they've gone 6 straight games without a home run. I mean, I said it yesterday, 5 straight games, and now it's 6 for them. Michael King, I think the key is try to keep him in the park again, because he has had the tendency to give up a couple of home run balls in his first few starts. That's the Rockies' probably best path, is if they can break out of that skid and get a couple off of Michael King, then it'll be a battle. If he keeps him in the yard, I like the Padres' chances.
Yeah, I do too. And again, this isn't, Feltner's not somebody that's going to fool you a lot. I mean, it's basically one of 2 pitches, and he will mix in a changeup every now and then. He will mix in, what was his other pitch? A sinker, very rarely, and a curveball even more rarely than that. So, you're sitting heater and reacting to the slider, and if he hangs one, you bang it, and let's get early and often, and back up our pitch. Tonight, I don't want to see another one of those games, Benny, where we're stranding, 10, 11 guys before the offense breaks through. Were you as surprised as I was with some of the stuff you saw out of the Rockies bullpen last night?
I think those were their 3 best guys.
That second guy that came in, I can't remember his name. He looked pretty nasty, man. I was like, that's not a guy I would mind.
First guy wasn't bad either. Vodnik.
He was the first guy.
And he pitched 2 innings, so he's probably not available tonight. But he threw pretty well.
He did. He did. There was some impressive arms down there. They just don't have a lot to work with and pitching in that ballpark. Hopefully the ball is flying out for the boys today.
I could think of was like vodka tonic every time I saw his name.
Vodnik.
Yep. Vodka tonic. Vodnik. But now they've used those guys and their bullpen has not been good. So if you can get you drive the pitch count up on Feltner a little bit and try to get into that bullpen again, that should bode well for the Padres also.
And our bullpen is locked and loaded. Plenty of fresh arms down there. A lot of guys have not been used in a while. Brito hasn't pitched since Saturday. Yuki Matsui hasn't pitched since Saturday. Tom Cosgrove hasn't pitched since Friday. Morejon Friday. Kolek Friday. So, if King does get in any trouble, Schilt will have...
I would say Suarez probably want to stay away from him on the third straight day. Felt like his velo was down a tick or two from Sunday to Monday.
Yeah.
So if you can avoid Suarez, I would think Mike Schilt would like to do that.
But I'm going to be interested every day to see what the lineup looks like. I am. I do wonder, if Mike Schilt will consider making some changes, at the top of the lineup especially, but we'll see.
He won't after a win.
Yeah, he probably won't.
I doubt it.
He probably won't.
So I saw that this week is the 35th anniversary of release of Field of Dreams, which is, I think, one of the more polarizing sports movies in terms of people who love it and people who think it's like the dumbest movie. And I'm always conflicted, because if I actually think about it, it's a pretty dumb movie. I mean, like pretty dumb. But it always makes me feel good when I watch it. And I still remember... I went to see it by myself. I feel like I was around, 35 years ago, so I was a teenager. And I went to the UTC Theater when it was still right across from the ice rink.
Wait a minute. How old were you when it came out? That would be, you were 15?
13, 14.
13, 14?
Yeah. Dropped off at the mall.
Okay, so your
went
mom
to the movie. Yeah.
Dropped you off.
Something like that.
I went with my aunt and uncle to see it, and I loved it. Yeah, at the time. I still love it.
I remember it's the only movie I've ever walked out of, and I was actually like crying.
Oh, I thought you meant you walked out.
No. At the end.
Oh,
right at the end, and I'm still, because it's right at the end when it happens.
Yeah,
and
you have a dad.
Yeah,
and you love your dad.
Yeah,
and
I've never had that experience since before ever.
You've never cried at a movie since
during a movie, yes, but actually like walking out of the theater, like still crying.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Catch?
Oh, God.
Still kind of gets me.
Gets me every time.
I'd like that.
But for the people who always argue, it's such a stupid movie.
Edgelords.
It makes no sense at all. they're not wrong. If you think about it logically, the movie makes like zero sense whatsoever.
It's fake.
I know, it's fiction. But why is there why is the writer in it? Where did this all come from? I have no
why
idea.
Why is Terrence Mann?
Why
in
is
it?
Terrence Mann? What was his role? There's the backstory. Okay,
that felt a bit reachy to me.
It's very reachy. Everything about it is reachy.
Yeah. Ease his pain.
Why do the rules of the ghost cornfield mean that he can't save his daughter without coming back to the game? I mean, it's magic. It's already magic. Why are there such strict rules to the magic? You can't go back.
Where do they go when they're in that corn? Do you know?
Terrence Mann knows. He got to go.
Why did he get to go? That's weird. He was alive.
No one else gets to go. He was alive. He gets to go to the cornfield. Did he die when he went out there?
That's the thing.
Did he come back? I mean, there's a lot that doesn't make any sense, even in the context of the movie.
You know what I love about it?
But it makes me feel good.
You know what I love about it? Honestly, I've watched it with Bo the last couple of years, and he really likes it. But I got to explain to him the Shoeless Joe Jackson lore. Right. And the story behind that. And that to me was the cool part of it. I love Eight Men Out, but he's not going to sit and watch that. Hey, Joe. Yeah. Two bits. See, like he's not into that. But Field of Dreams.
Say it ain't so, Joe.
Made sense to him when I explained what they did and why they got kicked out of baseball. And anytime you get a chance to talk about the history, you know, it's awesome.
And Ray Liotta, rest in peace. Didn't look like a baseball player at all on that swing. It was horrible.
He was swung right-handed.
Yes.
It was tough.
We've talked about this before. Not a lot of sports movies are out there where the actors,
but he was so
look
good.
Like they know what they're doing.
He was so good, though, at being Joe Jackson.
Yes,
right. He was great
until you actually
watch him
had
swing.
To make him swing the baseball.
I guess they tried and tried, and it looked so bad. They just hit right-handed. We're already putting guys in the cornfield, and you know, Moonlight Graham. The other thing I liked when I told Bo, "Hey, Moonlight Graham is real." That's a real story of a real baseball player that really got one half inning in the field and didn't get an AB. He couldn't believe it. I said, he's a real person. And he really went on to be a doctor and all that. Like, the part, I love that they intertwined all of that in there. I love the movie. I've loved it more since I had a kid, you know, and I can now play catch with my son. Yeah, man, it means a lot
to
me.
The James Earl Jones People Will Come speech is both overly melodramatic, kind of ridiculously written
and awesome.
An utterly awesome and spectacular
Bro,
at the same time.
People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
I cry when they don't let Moonlight back on the field. Every time.
Why not?
I weep.
You're magic. Just let him back.
I know. I'm with you.
It's a big deal. All right. That's it for us today. Annie and Elston. Annie Heilbrun. Annie Heilbrun. Coming up next, for Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody. Still talking about gut punch losses as a fan. Growing up, just the worst ones. Paulie had a couple of more talking about when he was a Mariners fan and they went to the playoffs with 116 wins. What was it?
Yeah.
And they lost in the playoffs to the Yankees.
It wasn't so much a gut punch. I think walk off.
Yeah, walk off.
You know, just completely blindsided by the loss. But that was a team that I watched every game that year. They won 116 and had just cruised all year. And then like 9/11 happened, baseball went away for a week or two, and you run into the Yankees and you're like, the whole world is rooting for New York right now. And like,
wild.
Part of me, I get it. And you're just like, there's something working against us right now.
You also brought up the Aztecs loss to UConn in the Sweet 16 in Anaheim in 2011 when Kemba Walker flopped, got the technical foul called in a very close game in the second half. And Paulie made the good point. The reason why that one hurt so much is that you felt like that team had a chance to win the whole thing and go all the way. And you maybe never dreamed that San Diego State would get that opportunity again. Now, of course, we know, you know, 12 years later, they would, in fact, make it to a Final Four in a national championship game. But at that time, you're going, that may be our only chance ever. And that was our best opportunity.
Especially when the team that flops and beats you in the Sweet 16 goes on to win the whole thing. You're like, oh my God.
Don't yeah. That
remember, mean. UConn always goes on to win the whole thing when they beat San Diego State.
That's exactly right. And somebody, C20 Moreno said, I think he said Aztecs last year was worse. That
I
one was
with that.
It was an early round. Like it was, you felt like it was over pretty early, and you were really proud of how far that they'd come. But it didn't feel like, man.
You had the incredible high of the buzzer beater in the Final Four game.
It's a bad feeling to look and go, yeah, I don't give us much of a shot, right?
Like, we need to play a perfect game.
Got to play a perfect game. They have to play a crap game. Yeah, for sure.
2020 was honestly worse than last year when the Aztecs were like looking at a one seed and the whole thing goes away because of COVID. That was a year that you look at, none of the blue bloods were there. No, like it was up for grabs. You're like, this team can absolutely win it.
It's sports are really stupid. I mean, it's really
what are we doing?
It really is incredible.
It is the math of sports that makes them stupid. Yes. You have however many teams, and only one of them wins a championship, and every single other one in some way ends in disappointment, whether it's seconds away from a title or you finish in last place and it was a horrible year. It's always painful for 29 other baseball teams, 31 other football teams, 367 other college basketball teams. It always ends in pain for everybody but one team.
Is that why Dodger fans are so salty and mean? Because you want to talk, I mean, look, be honest. You want to talk about gut punches, the Astros getting them, you know, Padres knocking them out after 111 wins.
I bet if you talked to Buffalo Bills fans from 1994 through 1998, they're still mad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, it's going to live on for years.
Yeah, because the Bills ran up against some really big juggernauts. The Dodgers, you don't look
They
at.
Never faced a team where you thought, well, they don't have a chance against that team.
Correct.
Four straight Super Bowls, though, and then just come away with nothing.
Crazy, man. God. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah, Scott Norwood, clearly, to get that close and need just a field goal to win a Super Bowl and not get it, one of the worst of all time.
No,
all
right,
we'll check traffic, take a look ahead at today's game, Padres-Rockies, right after Kelly on 97.3 The Fan. Well, the formula worked yesterday, so Padres basically trying it again. Very similar kind of matchup with Michael King on the mound, coming off a really good start, threw well, and going up against Ryan Feltner. He's a right-hander, has kind of similar numbers to Austin Gombers that they brought into the game yesterday. Padres once again, you know, feel like this is a matchup you can and should win as you try to get this series victory, at least 3 out of 4 against the Rockies.
He's a little better stuff than Austin Gomber. Throws a little bit harder.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing for the Padres offense.
No, it's somebody tweeted me last night, man, we can't hit slow pitching, we can't hit fast pitching. And it's the gif of the old man banging a hammer into his head, which may be my favorite one on Twitter. And I said, I know, it can be a little bit frustrating. Sometimes you just need the breaks to go your way. They have gone the Padres way, I feel more often this year than all of last season. But Feltner's expected numbers, Benny, are actually pretty good. I mean, his expected ERA is around 3, which is really good. Expected batting average about 192. He throws 95. Like he's going to be a little bit different look.
Yeah, he's in 6 fewer innings pitched than Michael King. He's struck out only 3 fewer batters. Yep. He's walked 7 fewer batters. He's given up 2 fewer home runs.
Right.
His ERA is higher, but he pitches at Coors Field.
So, exactly right.
Yeah, not bad by any stretch of the imagination.
Slider and fastball is really what you're going to see from him. So you pick right and time it up. You should have a good day.
You've caught the Rockies offense at a good time for the Padres. They've been struggling at the plate before even the Padres got there. C's kept them struggling. I think they've gone 6 straight games without a home run. I mean, I said it yesterday, 5 straight games, and now it's 6 for them. Michael King, I think the key is try to keep him in the park again, because he has had the tendency to give up a couple of home run balls in his first few starts. That's the Rockies' probably best path, is if they can break out of that skid and get a couple off of Michael King, then it'll be a battle. If he keeps him in the yard, I like the Padres' chances.
Yeah, I do too. And again, this isn't, you know, Feltner's not somebody that's going to fool you a lot. I mean, it's basically one of 2 pitches, and he will mix in a changeup every now and then. He will mix in, what was his other pitch? A sinker, very rarely, and a curveball even more rarely than that. So you know, you're sitting heater and reacting to the slider, and if he hangs one, you bang it, and let's get early and often, and, you know, back up our pitcher tonight. I don't want to see another one of those games, Benny, where we're stranding, you know, 10, 11 guys before the offense breaks through. Were you as surprised as I was with some of the stuff you saw out of the Rockies bullpen last night?
I think those were their three best guys.
That second guy that came in, yeah. I can't remember his name, he looked pretty nasty, man. I was like, that's not a guy I would
first
mind
first guy wasn't bad either. Vodnik.
He was
he pitched two innings, so he's probably not available tonight, but he threw pretty well.
He did. There was some impressive arms down there. You know, they just don't have a lot to work with and pitching in that ballpark. Hopefully the ball is flying out for the boys today.
I could think of was like vodka tonic every time I saw his name.
Vodnik.
But now they've used those guys, and their bullpen has not been good. So if you can get you drive the pitch count up on Feltner a little bit and try to get into that bullpen again, that should bode well for the Padres also.
And our bullpen is locked and loaded. Plenty of fresh arms down there. A lot of guys have not been used in a while. Brito hasn't pitched since Saturday. Yuki Matsui hasn't pitched since Saturday. Tom Cosgrove hasn't pitched since Friday. Morejone Friday. Kolek Friday. So, you know, if King does get in any trouble, Schilt will have.
I would say Suarez probably want to stay away from him on the third straight day. Felt like his velo was down a tick or two from Sunday to Monday.
Yeah.
So if you can avoid Suarez, I would think Mike Schilt would like to do that.
But yeah, I'm going to be interested every day to see what the lineup looks like. I do wonder, you know, if Mike Schilt will consider making some changes, you know, at the top of the lineup especially, but we'll see.
He won't after a win.
Yeah, he probably won't.
I doubt it.
He probably won't.
So I saw that this week is the 35th anniversary of release of Field of Dreams, which is, I think, one of the more polarizing sports movies in terms of people who love it and people who think it's like the dumbest movie. And I'm always conflicted because if I actually think about it, it's a pretty dumb movie. I mean, like pretty dumb. But it always makes me feel good when I watch it. And I still remember, I went to see it by myself. I feel like I was around, 35 years ago, so I was a teenager. And I went to the UTC Theater when it was still right across from the ice rink.
Wait a minute. How old were you when it came out? That would be, you were 15?
13, 14.
13, 14?
Yeah. Dropped off at the mall.
Okay, so your
went
mom
to the movie. Yeah.
Dropped you off.
Something like that.
I went with my aunt and uncle to see it, and I loved it. Yeah, at the time. I still love it.
I remember it's the only movie I've ever walked out of, and I was actually like crying.
Oh, I thought you meant you walked out.
No. At the end.
Oh,
right at the end, and I'm still, because it's right at the end when it happens.
Yeah.
And
you have a dad.
Yeah.
And you love your dad.
Yeah.
And
I've never had that experience since before ever.
You've never cried at a movie
during a movie, yes, but actually like walking out of the theater, like still, still crying.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Catch?
Oh, God.
Still kind of gets me.
It gets me every time.
I'd like that.
But for the people who always argue, it's such a stupid movie.
Edge
it makes
Lords.
No sense at all. They're not wrong. If you think about it logically, the movie makes like zero sense whatsoever.
It's fake.
I know. It's fiction. But why is there, why is the writer in it? Where did this all come from? I have no
why
idea.
Why is Terrence Mann?
Why is Terrence Mann? What was his role? There's the backstory. Okay,
that felt a bit reachy to me.
It's very reachy. Everything about it is reachy.
Yeah. Ease his pain.
Why do the rules of the ghost cornfield mean that he can't save his daughter without coming back to the game? I mean, it's magic. It's already magic. Why are there such strict rules to the magic? You can't go back.
Where do they go when they're in that corn? Do you know?
Terrence Mann knows. He got to go. Why did he get to go?
And that's weird. He was alive.
No one else gets to go. He was alive. He gets to go to the cornfield. Did he die when he went out there?
That's the thing.
Did he come back? I mean, there's a lot that doesn't make any sense, even in the context of the movie.
You know what I love about it?
But it makes me feel good.
You know what I love about it? Honestly, I've watched it with Bo the last couple of years, and he really likes it. But I got to explain to him the Shoeless Joe Jackson lore. Right. And the story behind that. And that to me was the cool part of it. I love Eight Men Out, but he's not going to sit and watch that. Hey, Joe, yeah, two bits, see? Like, he's not into that, but Field of Dreams.
Say it ain't so, Joe.
Made sense to him when I explained what they did and why they got kicked out of baseball. And anytime you get a chance to talk about the history, you know, it's awesome.
And Ray Liotta, rest in peace, didn't look like a baseball player at all on that swing. It was horrible.
He was swung right-handed.
Yes.
It was tough.
We've talked about this before. Not a lot of sports movies are out there where the actors,
but he was so good,
like they know what they're doing.
He was so good, though, at being Joe Jackson.
Yes,
right. He was great
until you actually
watch him
had
swing.
To make him swing the baseball.
I guess they tried and tried, and it looked so bad. They just hit right-handed. We're already putting guys in the cornfield, and you know, Moonlight Graham. The other thing I liked when I told Bo, "Hey, Moonlight Graham is real." That's a real story of a real baseball player that really got one half inning in the field and didn't get an AB. He couldn't believe it. I said, he's a real person. And he really went on to be a doctor and all that. Like, the part, I love that they intertwined all of that in there. I love the movie. I've loved it more since I had a kid, you know, and I can now play catch with my son. Yeah, man, it means a lot
to me.
The
James Earl Jones People Will Come speech is both overly melodramatic, kind of ridiculously written
and awesome.
And utterly awesome, yeah. And spectacular,
bro,
at the same time.
People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
I cry when they don't let Moonlight back on the field. Every time.
Why not?
I weep.
You're magic. Just let him back.
I know. I'm with you.
It's a big deal. All right. That's it for us today. Annie and Elston. Annie Heilbrun. Annie Heilbrun. Coming up next, for Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.